Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to the Astronomy Show here on 103.2 Dublin City FM with John Dixon and myself, Ben Emmett. Nearly forgot my own name there for a moment. And firstly, good evening, John.
And a very good evening to you, Ben. Hi, everyone.
Hi, everyone. Indeed, as ever, our email address is astronomy@dublincityfm.ie, and the text number is 087-179-1032. The standard text rates apply. That's 087-179-1032. And just before we get stuck in, just want to thank a young lady who wrote to us in the past couple of weeks. Unfortunately, because I wasn't here, I missed some of the earlier emails, but I only managed to pick them up this afternoon. So thank you, Hope, in Scotland somewhere. Ayr, I think it is. Mm-hmm. Thank you. It's always nice to get an email from anywhere in the universe. Just let us know where you are listening. It's always interesting.
Yes, indeed it is. We have a new listener out there in Ayr as well. Different area. They don't know each other. And it's Gordon, and good evening to you if you're listening.
Oh.
Which I probably think you are, because he has his timer set for the programme. So there we are, another new listener. Brilliant.
Thank you, Gordon. And Hope, of course, and everyone else. You're all very welcome to the Astronomy Show here on 103.2 Dublin City FM and around the world on dublincityfm.ie and wherever you get your podcasts. Now, John, we're going to talk, as usual, about what to see in the sky, as we normally do, but just a forewarn, for want of a better word, the big event tomorrow. Oh, our team, so we'll go into it in a bit more detail after your sky notes, but a big event tomorrow with a huge, powerful force launch of a rocket to the moon, unmanned this time, but it is the system that's going to bring people to the moon in the next couple of years, maybe 2025 now is the latest estimated landing. We look forward to that. But first, what to see in the sky, and there are a good few planets about, and perhaps you can tell us how we're going to to see them, and meteor showers coming up as well.
Yeah, and just to remind you, first of all, that the International Space Station comes back into our evening skies on November the 18th, which is 3 days away. Looking forward to that, and it is around for a couple of weeks until December the 7th. And what we'll do is we can Google all that to see exactly where to look. So you must go out, face south, look up, and a little bit to the right, a couple of minutes before it's due to come into the evening skies, and it just will either last a minute or up to 6 or 7 minutes as well, depending on the particular pass that there is. So put that in your diaries, November the 18th, which is 3 days' time. Jupiter, I'm just going to start with that one, because if you look out again, point yourselves out and look left a little bit to the south-east, you will get to see this bright starry-like object in the sky. This is, in fact, Jupiter, and it blazes white. It's fantastic. High in the southeast in twilight, which has just gone past there a little hour ago or so. Magnitude -2.8. And it's going to be pretty high as early as 8 p.m., which is just gone past. So if you want a quick look, out you go and then come back in again and tune yourselves back into the Astronomy Show right here, 103.2 Dublin City FM. So there we go. So Saturn again, its magnitude +0.7 in Copernicus. It glows highest in the south as twilight fades. So it will set at around 10, half 10, depending where you are. Mars, another one, good one to see. Last week, in fact, the moon split Jupiter and Mars in two. So if you look to slightly to the right of the moon, you saw Jupiter. If you look left of the moon, you saw Mars. So those two are up fantastic. -1.6. And it will rise at around 9-ish, just after, depending again where you are. And Mars's fiery yellow-orange colour helps it to give it way. So you have this orangey-coloured planet-like object. So there we go. And so what else we got? Uranus, Neptune. Again, these are the ones you need binoculars, a good telescope to watch. If you're a hunter, as I say, good luck. And it's as long as you know where they are, you'll find them. And there's really a smudge, a little smudge in the sky, a little bluey coloured. And that's really all. Unfortunately, Venus is not around at the moment. It won't be back in our skies until probably January thereabouts. And anything else I've missed?
Mercury.
Oh, yeah, it's in the glare of the sun at the moment. In fact, that's where Venus is at the moment as well. It's hidden in the glare of the sun. So, you know, it's they're not. You might get a glimpse of Venus, possibly. But again, it's not really worth seeing because it disappears below the horizon so quickly after dark. So there we go. That's a quick run around.
Thank you for John. Thank you for that, John. I had a quick glance at Jupiter the other day, actually, just through my little spotter scope. You can see it's a planet because you can see a disk. If it was a star, you'd only see a point of light. And those beautiful alignment of the four, its four largest moons, the Galilean moons. Calypso, Ganymede, Io, and Enceladus. You can see them, they were all, they were in the beautiful white line across the planet.
It's nice to see them that way because sometimes you don't often get to see them like that.
Sometimes they're hidden behind or in front or transiting in front, yeah. But when you see the four of them, it's pretty nice. And Jupiter too, through a small scope, you should be able to see its largest moon, Titan, as well. Thank you for that, John. We've got some meteor showers coming up. Not the greatest meteor showers of the year, but on Thursday the 17th, the Leonid meteor showers peak, and they have a ZHR or zenith hourly rate of 15, which is not, not fantastic. And then that's, they reckon what you would see in a perfectly dark sky without light pollution, without the moon in the way. Of course, that's 15 once every five minutes or so. Mm-hmm. Not 5 minutes, but every 12 minutes, I should say. No, that's not right either. My powers of maths have 60.
And depends how you're
60 divided by 15? It's 4. Yeah, one every 4 minutes or so,
which is good. Yeah, it's pretty good.
That's not bad at all. And then we have another meteor shower, which peaks much later, on December the 5th. That's the Alpha Monoceratid meteor shower. So we give you a bit more information about that when it comes up.
Yeah,
did you mention the occultation of?
No, I didn't. No.
Of Uranus, seeing as we were talking about the planets, but the moon will occult Uranus, just in the early evening, 5 to 5 or so in Dublin. That's on December 5th, the Alpha Monoceratid meteor showers on Monday the 21st. Mm-hmm. And also coming up around December 8th, I think that's when Mars reaches opposition and it will be also occulted at the moon, but that's at the very unsociable hour of around about 10 to 5 in the morning. Very briefly, seeing this, we're speaking about the moon and more of that and on. We have the moon is not quite, it's not up yet here from our vantage point here in Dublin. It is a 50% waning gibbous at the moment, but it will rise later this evening, just after 10 p.m., when it'll shrink a tiny bit to 56%. And it will be due south just at 20 past 2, or 20 past 6, I should say, in the morning, tomorrow morning, when it'll be down to 53% as it approaches the last quarter. And when it sets, in fact, at 20 past 2 in the afternoon tomorrow, it will be at 50%. The last quarter moon is officially at 1:27 p.m. And the moon will rise again tomorrow evening at 11:20 p.m. At that stage, it will have shrunk to a 46% phase. So rising tonight at 4 minutes past 10 and rising tomorrow evening at 20 minutes past 11. So that's 25 hours and 16 minutes later. Now the sun, we've all noticed today is getting darker, no doubt. And earlier in Dublin, the sun will rise tomorrow at 7:51 a.m., which is 13 minutes later than a week ago. Local noon is at 9 minutes past 12. That's when the sun will cross the zenith, or will be due south of us here in Dublin, and then sets at 4:27 p.m., which is 11 minutes earlier than a week ago. And then we have civil twilight until 6 minutes past 5, then nautical twilight until 12 minutes to 6, and then astronomical twilight until 6:30 p.m. when officially night time begins. They're all about 8 to 11 minutes earlier than a week ago. So tomorrow we have 3 minutes and 18 seconds less daylight than today, when we'll have a mere 8 hours and 35 minutes between sunrise and sunset, and that's a whole 24 minutes less daylight than we had a week ago.
Let's just quickly go into the rate that we're losing daylight at the moment, because it is slowing down. In the summer months, it was, what, 4 minutes 29 thereabouts. At the beginning of November, just for an example, it was just under 4 minutes a day, which we lose daylight, which is slowing down rapidly. So it's interesting to know if you don't and you haven't heard about it before. So there we go. Now, I suppose we do have to talk about Artemis.
Well, it's the big day tomorrow for the huge rocket, which has 15% more powerful than the Saturn V rocket. And it's due its first launch tomorrow morning. The launch window opens at 4 minutes past 6 tomorrow morning. That's Irish time. Mm-hmm. Of course, it'll be launching from Cape Canaveral in Florida, which is 5 hours behind us. So it'll be 4 minutes past 1 in the morning over there. And I'm not sure how long the launch window is, but if they miss the launch window tomorrow, there's another one on the 19th. This will be the third or the fourth attempt between storms and other minor problems they've seen. Mm. Must have leaks or seals or something like that.
There was a
sensor.
Minimal damage from Hurricane Nicole. And the spacecraft itself is able to withstand heavy rains and winds up to 85 miles an hour, although it travels at, or it's going to be over 25,000 miles an hour at one stage. So it's, of course, in a complete vacuum, so it doesn't matter. So they probably would have had to have taken it in if it was quicker, if they knew it was coming in faster than that. So they did get a couple of sensors recording gusts as high as 100 miles per hour, 457 feet above the ground, which is, I wouldn't like to see that tip over.
I don't think they'd chance a launch in those conditions.
Only a couple of sensors and things like that. So they fixed all those. They're getting ready for tomorrow morning's launch. You've set your alarm clock. I don't really need to set it, but I probably will anyway, just to get the telly on to watch this, because that'll be it now.
Well, my Wednesday alarm clock goes off at 6:20.
Yeah.
So, but I'll be checking first thing. You can, I think an hour or so earlier, they'll start their live broadcast on NASA TV. So we go to nasatv.gov, I think it is. You'll see it there. And also via the ESA website as well. They've ESAweb.tv. I'll get the website address for you in a moment.
Yep, let's give an idea of what the Artemis 1 mission is and what it's going to do after takeoff. So its plan is to take off tomorrow morning, and it's a 25.5-day voyage beyond the far side of the moon and back, which is totally unmanned, just to make sure that we can do it. It's going to be very exciting. Can't wait for this, actually. And it's going to make
maiden flight is always nervous. I'm nervous watching anything.
I know. Yeah. And from the famous Complex 39B rocket launching pad, it's in the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. It's got 4 big RS-25 engines. It sounds like a motoring program now. With 2 white boosters on either side, it's going to produce 8.8 million pounds, which is equivalent to 39 mega newtons of thrust. Which is, as you say, Ben, 15% more than the Apollo program's Saturn V rocket. So these are beasts. And after 2 minutes, the thrusters will fall back into the Atlantic Ocean. I don't know if they go and look for these to recover them or not. And after 8 minutes, the core stage, orange in color, if you've seen pictures of it, and it's going to fall away as well, leaving the Orion crew capsule attached for the interim cryogenic propulsion stage. So there's another fancy way. So It's going to circle the Earth once, put the Orion on course for the moon, and drop away about 90 minutes after takeoff. So it's going to be good fun to watch that. So we can go on and on to explain what it's doing. So it's got some plans to do a lot of experiments and things. So 25,000 miles an hour is the speed that you need to get out of the Earth's, well, we call it the atmosphere, but the pull of gravity, whereas the International Space Station only does 17,500, so there's no chance of it getting out of the orbit. So we've cameras and everything, CubeSats and shoebox-sized microsatellites and all sorts of stuff for experiments. So this is going to be really good.
It sure is. And it's going to be three mannequins, so no people, as you mentioned. Three or four mannequins, and they all have a... They've all been named.
Yeah. Ben and John, No.
Not Ben and John or Del and Rodney or anything like that. The names are... one of them was named after former NASA technical person who did great work helped save the boys on the Apollo 13 program. Oh, they call him... One of them is going to be called Moonikin Campos, named after the legendary NASA engineer who they say saved Apollo 13, and that particular mannequin will be in the commander's seat wearing the agency's brand new uniform, and it's going to be equipped with sensors underneath the spacesuit to monitor acceleration, vibrations, and radiation. And the other mannequins won't have the spacesuit, and they'll also have sensors measuring radiation, so effectively you'll be measuring the difference between them and basically how effective the spacesuit is to protect the future astronauts from radiation. But as you mentioned, it does have a few not just testing the rocket, although they say one of the main objectives is to test the capsule's heat shield, which is the largest ever built. It's 5 meters in diameter. That's on re-entry, but it will have a payload of 10 CubeSats, which are shoebox-sized microsatellites, and they are going to be deployed in the upper stage. And those particular CubeSats have numerous goals: be studying an asteroid, examining the effect of radiation on living organisms, and searching for water on the moon. And actually, if you Google ESA Web TV, you'll be able to find the ESA live feed and NASAtv.gov. Isn't that the NASA live feed?
That's the one
feed
I watch, yeah, definitely.
I don't know whether they're different, are they?
It doesn't matter. I just plunk it onto space.com or space anything. And it just comes up on the screen, so I'm happy. Now, just go over to the other side of the world from the US, I suppose. China's cargo spacecraft sets a new world record for docking with its spacecraft up there. So it took off on Saturday morning and docked with the Chang'e space station around noon. 2 hours and 7 minutes or something it took to get up there, and that's pretty quick. So it has sent the record time to dock with a spacecraft in space as well. So it was placed into Earth orbit, that's low Earth orbit, by Long March 7 rocket that blasted off at 10:03 and docked at 12:10. 2 hours and 7 minutes later. So that's brilliant. So we'll keep an eye on that. Evidently it was just perfect timing to get that right. Just caught up just at the right time. So there we go. And again, just going on to the moon again, because there's a little spacecraft that was creeping its way up called Capstone. And there was a little probe arriving at the moon, and this tiny little thing, the spacecraft's historic trek to the moon is over. It has reached orbit around the moon, and it weighs 25 kilograms, which is like a bag going to holidays. And the milestone came after a successful engine burn that ended at 7:39 EST. And that was very exciting. So we'll get to see what that's going to do over the next coming weeks as well. So that's the tiny Capstone. It's only a tiny little thing.
Thank you, John. You're listening to the Astronomy Show here on 103.2 Dublin City FM with John Dixon and myself, Ben Emmett. And our email address is astronomy@dublincityfm.ie and the text number is 087-179-1032. Standard text rates apply. That's 087-179-1032. Just speaking of spacecraft, I see the X-37B has returned. Remember the X-37B?
Yeah,
it's like a very small version of the space shuttle.
Yeah.
And I think the whole thing was financed by the US military, if I'm not mistaken. It was built by Boeing. They call it the X-37B Orbital Test Vehicle, or OTV. And it has set a new endurance record after spending 908 days in orbit before it landed again at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. The previous record was 780 days, so it surpassed it by 128 days if my maths is correct. It's successful sixth mission. Now, we've known it's been going up before, and we heard very little about what it was doing, or all so top secret. But there is a little bit of information this time around about it. At least it's doing some work other than perhaps military, which I presume it was doing before, but we don't know anything about it. There was very little information given out about it, but there were some experiments that they actually told us about what they were up to. It was launched back in May 2020, which is a long time to be up there. I know there was some material, what they call the Materials Exposure and Technology Innovation in Space, or METIS-2, as one of the experiments which evaluates the effect of space exposure on various materials, they say, to validate and improve the precision of space environment models. Whatever that means.
Exactly. No. Just going into where the Bermuda Triangle is. Yeah, this is unusual now, because it's a long time since the Challenger space shuttle exploded back in 1986, and divers were down there searching for World War II era aircraft near the Bermuda Triangle. They stumbled across a piece of the space shuttle.
Yes, oh, I read that.
Yeah, know. And this is seemingly one of the biggest bits that they found, and they've been seen, have been taking pictures, a couple of divers surrounded by fish, touching some of the shuttle sand-covered tiles as well. So whether they leave it down there, I don't know. And just by chance, I think they found this. So just a little bit of news on the front. We have a Christmas word coming up shortly.
We do?
Yep. And there are loads of ideas that we have for prezzies that one can give one.
Look at me. You'll get nothing from me.
One of the ones that I like, and we've spoken to Giles Sparrow on this program going back a number of years as well. So we have both got a couple of his books. The one that I particularly like, and I had got last Christmas, seemingly enough, was one called Mars by Giles Sparrow. That has some fantastic photographs in that as well. The other thing I mentioned last week was the... We used to have to put our cameras on top of telescopes as they track the sky, but you can get a star tracker now for astrophotography, and this is dedicated totally to put on a tripod, and it will follow because we move quite quickly, and the planets and things will move quickly out of the skies. They need to be tracked, so there's a little motor on this as well. So the one that I'd probably recommend, that's not too far out of our budgets, €329. It's an iOptron Sky Tracker Pro, and it literally, you put the camera on top and it follows.
It's just a tripod with a motor-driven tracker, basically without the telescope.
Exactly, and I thought I'd just mention that to you because you've got a new camera as well, which you're going to
still trying to figure out.
I know, well, it'll come in time, and you'll have a bash at the...
Someday.
Someday as well, and something for the kids. There are all sorts of Lego things out there. Programs of the Saturn V rockets and what else have we got as well? Luke Skywalker's X-Wing fighter and all these. Lego's gone really bananas. There's a Lego City Lunar Space Station and things like that. So they're not too bad. 70 odd down to 40, 50
euros.
Yeah, there you go. So then loads of books as well. And one of the top things, if you're into it, there's a thing called an Elegoo, E-L-E-G-O-O, Saturn 3D printer, if you want to do these things. Now, I was doing a little bit of research on these, and they work, the newer ones work with resin, where the old ones used to melt plastic. And these ones just dip them back and forwards, and they just, how it figures it out, I have absolutely no idea. But if you're looking to get into 3D world, it's not... 3D printing world, it's not that expensive. You can go for the printers for about €150 up to whatever you really want to. So just a couple of ideas if you wanted to give something nice at Christmas. I'll probably remind you again before.
Yeah, needn't bother.
There we go. Yeah.
Thank you, John, for that. Not. But anyway, yeah, thank you for that. I think we're out of time now. There was a few things I hope to get to them next week. Beetlejuice, we discussed Beetlejuice a few years ago about its dimming. It mysteriously dimmed for about a year or so and then brightened back up to its normal brightness. And there's a new theory about that.
Yeah, we'll do it next week, yeah.
Which we'll cover next week. And also about the interstellar object, Oumuamua, which we've covered before.
Mm-hmm.
And why they think it may be something, they think at the time thought it was cigar shaped, but now they think it was pancake shaped, and what that could mean. Mm-hmm. But we'll leave that next week. That's all the time we have this evening. Thank you, John, for your news items, and thank you for your emails. And don't forget our email address is astronomy@dublincityfm.ie. Thanks to James Sweeney, too, and to Conor Lennon, and the people here who put this program up as a podcast. But that's all from me, Emmett, from this edition of the Astronomy Show here on 103.2 Dublin City FM. Up next is Hello China. 9 o'clock, we've Threads with Bren Linnett. 11 p.m., we've Ear to the Globe with Nigel Wood with his World Music Mix. And at midnight till 2 a.m., we have After Hours with Dave Barry and his mix of jazz, blues and soul until 2 a.m. But please join myself and John at the same time next week. We'll be back with all the latest news from around the universe. Until then, take care of each other. Thank you for listening. Say goodnight, John.
Goodnight, John.
Goodnight, John.
See you next week. Bye-bye.
Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.